Welcome to the Futile Podcast, and tonight we got Zach and Ian, and from 2012, are we going to talk about a little Prometheus? Is that what you want to talk about tonight?
Sure.
Okay, cool.
Hey, so, let me ask you something. You saying that this is coming to them tonight, whoever's listening,
yeah.
Is that necessary?
I like it for the anachronistic quality that it brings. I've said it for years. I always think that it's like a show. It's happening at night, you know?
But if you fool the listener into thinking that whatever you're saying is whatever time they're listening, then it's going to be a more immersive experience for them.
I don't know. I kind of look at it like in another way. Like if they feel like it's happening at a certain time when the recording's happening, then that's what the environment in their mind should be as they're listening to it. Because they know they're not like immersed in the audio purely. But if you paint sort of a picture that, oh, it's night where they're recording, and you know, mm-hmm. maybe a little, right. little background audio bleed in, and you can hear, you know, the airplanes taking off in the background. I don't know.
It's just, but airplanes can happen anytime.
Right, but I mean, but if you add tonight, then like, oh, it's the red eye, and I'll bet somebody's going home to see their kid for the first time ever or something, you know?
You can go home to see your kid the first time ever anytime. You could go home to see your kid for the first time ever early in the morning. I think that Nicolas Cage in Con Air, I think that plane was pretty early in the morning, because by the time they went through all their shenanigans and got to Vegas, it was night. So it started early.
Okay, I'll give you that. It was early.
Yeah.
So
what was his name?
Nicolas Cage?
Yeah, what was his name in that movie?
Castor Troy? No, I don't know.
It's actually really close to that, I think.
It's something really good and stupid, I think, right?
Oh, man.
It's not like Dallas something or something.
No, it was something pretty hicky, though, I think.
Hicky? Like as in like Dallas, the TV show, is back kind of thing?
Oh, not like that. That's fake hicky. That's not even real hicky.
Oh, no.
Let's see, his name was...
Oh, you got the internet going for us?
His name was Cameron Poe, that's it.
Cameron Poe, that's right.
Because people...
See my daughter.
I just want to get my daughter back.
Oh, shit. So
I like when he punches that cop on the plane and says something mean to him in this twangy accent while he stuffs the tape recorder into his pocket. And he like whispers in his ear like, sorry, buddy.
Like yeah, right. could his friendly prison buddy have had a different disease other than like needing insulin? That would have made it a little better, I think.
I don't know, because did he end up dying or not?
No one died in that movie except for the bad guys, dude. There was no real consequences in it.
Not sure.
Yeah. Yeah, that was an interesting movie, populated by a collection of characters all on a ship. Much like, not like, kind of like, I don't know. I'm going to let you take the lead on this one, Z-Man, since I kind of already did a guest spot on another podcast talking about Prometheus. Not that I won't interject, but I want to make this one more from your perspective. I want you to give your take on Prometheus and your draw from it, and I'll try to just sort of shut up and let you do that, and then we can have an interaction, because we've had like a week now to kind of talk about it on various chat boards and things, and it seems like there's becoming like, it's kind of an odd phenomenon that I'm not part of. I mean, I don't take any allegiance to. But
chat boards. Were we in a chat room, like an AOL chat room?
Oh, right, I guess not. We were just chatting on the internet with like a message.
Did we? I think we cybered while we talked, right?
Oh my gosh.
Everyone was cybering everybody else.
Oh no. Anyway.
I killed that man in self-defense.
Was that on earlier or something?
No.
You just always...
I just like Con Air.
Yeah, I know.
Simon West, man, he's so good.
Yeah, did he do Green Lantern?
Oh gosh, I hope so.
Did he? You know, with Ryan Reynolds and stuff? I feel like he did.
He's got something big coming up. He just took over something that people were like, no, when they found out.
Well, didn't he did the first G.I. Joe, but not the second one, or something like that?
Something along those lines, yeah, let's see. Oh, he's doing Expendables 2, that's right.
Oh, that'll be fine. I mean, Stallone will keep a leash on him if he needs to.
No, he didn't do G.I. Joe. He did The Mechanic.
Oh, right, yeah.
And then since then, he hasn't... Gosh, he's really hasn't made a lot of stuff. He's been executive producer on a handful of things. After Con Air, General's Daughter, and Tomb Raider, he quieted down and became executive producer a few times, told The Mechanic.
Hmm. The Mechanic is a weird one for him to come back to, as a director to for.
Yeah.
But, oh, well.
Anyway, back to Con Air. No, but here's the thing. You just set up this you just talked forever because, like, you weren't letting me butt in about, like, how you're going to go ahead and let me do this thing. But I'm not going to do that. I'm gonna sit and listen to yours first.
What, you're going to listen to mine first?
Yep.
Oh, okay.
Because I don't want you interrupting with your snarky little...
I wouldn't interrupt, actually. I'm fine.
No, you actually just said part of the... You actually used the word interject, which is the same thing, just so you know.
Well, but I just said that because I
didn't... You were going
to
do it.
I didn't want you to think, like, because I was trying to pitch the idea of you taking this episode and kind of running with it, but I know you were always kind of anti that, so I wanted you to know, like, well, no, I'll still, like, be involved in the episode.
I'm a sidekick that pops in every now and then.
Is that what it's going to be?
This is the Ian show. Sidekick who's sitting on the couch.
Right.
You know, you ask me my opinion, I'm like, well, here you go, Conan, I'll tell you what my opinion is. And then I make a couple little wisecracks,
and then the audience welcome, loves you even more.
Yeah, please welcome Mark Valley.
Mark Valley? Who's that?
He's the guy who was in Human Target on Fox.
Oh, I don't know. Right. Yeah, stuff. Okay, no, I get you. He was Keen Eddie.
Keen Eddie, there you go. You would know Mark Valley. I don't know. I was thinking of a basic cable guy, and that's what I came up with.
Right. Cool. Okay, so Prometheus starts with a giant...
Wait. Are you going to do it this way, where you are going to... Are you going to do, like, kind of a snarky recap first, or are you going to go straight into the snarky analysis? Because I was just thinking you were going to snark your way through the analysis first. Because the recap is something people probably don't want at this point, because everyone who anyone who cares one way or another has already seen it.
Good point. We don't have to waste our time with that. I'll start from a personal place then. First off, I saw some trailers, but I did not delve in, and I don't generally do this because I don't actually care that much about what other people's opinions are, and you know that to be true. I didn't, like, read other analysis or other reviews ahead of time or anything. I was right. I was excited about the movie based on some stuff I saw in the trailers, based on the early stuff that it was just Ridley Scott doing science fiction, and that was about it. I was a little less excited because of Damon Lindelof, because I actually watched all of Lost, and I feel like that Lost kind of didn't really succeed at a good conclusion for me. That's not to say that it was a bad show. I think it had a lot of really good stuff in it. I don't know how much he deserves credit for, but
you're basing Lindelof, your dislike for Lindelof off of Lost, when he also wrote for like Nash Bridges. So you're not giving him credit for that when you're
thinking
about it.
That's true. And he did write like Cowboys and Aliens also, right?
I think he co-wrote with what's his name? Orci?
Yeah.
And then he, of course, was a co-writer on Star Trek.
Right. And I liked the first Star Trek. So, I mean, I basically went into it with, like, a decent bit of optimism, wanting to like it, not really sure what it was going to be, hearing a lot of mixed messages all the way through it from the early rumor mill and everything else about, oh, it's an alien prequel. No, it's not really an alien prequel. It kind of deals with the space jockey and everything. And then seeing in the trailer where it's like, oh, obviously, that's the ship. You know, that's the ship. So I went into it thinking, is this going to be kind of the setup to the opening of Alien and kind of the genesis, literally and figuratively, of you know, the aliens, which I guess in the nerd crowds, they call them the xenomorphs. That's what you call the alien aliens, yeah. I guess. So that you don't confuse them with Predator or whatever else is running around.
Well, the xenomorph is the final form. They refer to the other things as the... face huggers and chest bursters. They're like three distinct, stages in the life.
In the morphology of the development. Yeah. Okay, cool. So, I mean, that was maybe the only thing that I was kind of having as an expectation, is like, oh, it's going to sort of set up some storyline that will relate to the, you know, the genesis of these other movies or something, possibly. I mean, that said, if it was a good movie and if it was something cool and if it was good science fiction and Ridley Scott doing neat stuff, I kind of could care less, you know? I guess, let's see, the very beginning was a little puzzling, but not really. I mean, it was like, I took it as being early Earth.
Okay.
You know, like a billion years ago kind of Earth.
Right.
And then there's some puzzling stuff going on there, because you see, like, the robed alien kind of lift his face, and you're like, oh, okay, wow, they're starting with a completely different kind of alien creature that looks fairly, you know, it's bipedal and it's humanoid. It's not terribly imaginative in its design or look, but it's got kind of this, like, pensive eyes, and whatever it's doing, it seems very, very ritualistic, because it's by this waterfall, and it's kind of, like, it self-sacrifices.
And it was wearing, like, an adult diaper, too.
Yeah, it was wearing an adult diaper, and it was wearing a Jedi robe, and it was looking up ominously at this, like, shadow from some kind of flying saucer or something.
Yeah.
It didn't resemble the other ships from later. It right. looked like a different kind of ship.
Which so it wouldn't if it was, you know, years and years and years
ago. A billion years ago. Yeah, you never know. That's the whole point. It's a whole new alien race with a whole new collection of stuff, and you don't know anything about it. You just know... okay, this seems like a kind of weird ritualistic thing that this character's doing, and I guess through doing that, he was seeding the planet or something.
Mm-hmm.
That's all kind of what you infer.
Right.
And then cut to some scientists in the future, but not that far in the future, finding some cave paintings and being like, okay, we're good, we're off. And then they go, and I mean, and that was all, I don't know. Like, I feel like there's not a lot from the structure.
Did you want more setup?
No, I didn't really, actually. I think what I would have preferred is more throw you in, and then let them discover the pieces. Because there was a lot of, like, just, like, info dump at the beginning. It was kind of incredulous. You know what I mean? Like, all the stuff
You think that the info that was happening in a sci-fi movie about fake stuff and technologies that haven't been invented and probably never will was incredulous?
Right. No, I mean, like, in terms of the motivation.
Did you think that Ice Pirates was a plausible movie?
Ice Pirates made sense. The water is a limited resource, and so you
how many robot pimps do you think are going to exist by the year?
Were there robot pimps in Ice Pirates?
Oh, hell yeah, there's robot pimps.
I don't remember there being robot pimps in Ice Pirates.
A robot pimp, yeah.
Yeah, nice. I gotta see Ice Pirates again. But that at the same time is sort of a different kind of science fiction movie. And I don't know. I you can get into, like, genre subdividing. But I don't think I care so much about that. I think I'm more just, like, trying to find, I don't know, like, a serious science fiction, I guess is what I mean, story here. And it has that. It certainly starts with that, and it sort of hints at that, and these ideas of what are going on with these aliens and engineering life forms, and it's all, you know, very, it's kind of like 2001 stuff and everything else. And then, I mean, just, I mean, I don't know. Just some of the character motivation was screwy, and mm-hmm. it all seemed kind of thin, and very plotting, and a little inexplicable in other cases. Like, I couldn't connect the dots and things. And, like, I've had these problems in other movies that other people have liked and that the internet's liked and whatever else. Like, I am not taking a side.
You're not alone in your hate in this.
This
is an extremely divisive movie so far.
I'm getting that, and I'm curious about that. And to be perfectly honest, I think the most interesting thing about this movie is that there seems to be, like, an honest to God, like, legitimate side that's saying, like, in 10 years everyone's going to consider this a genius, brilliant movie, and then people are like, nah, it wasn't so good. And then it's like, there's, like, a reaction against the backlash already. Like, that thing you posted, that Twitter thing you posted with Roger Ebert is like,
oh, yeah.
Why does he even give a shit about the internet?
Ebert has been, he has been riding this thing hard, man. He's embraced the new technology wholeheartedly.
True. But I think
I think it's admirable considering his advanced age and state.
Okay. I'll give you that then.
I heard that Siskel's into it too.
So anyway, yeah, that. But yes, life and death and the importance of that or something. I don't know. That vaguely tries to maybe kind of shoehorn its way into the monster movie of Prometheus, which I guess. I mean, that seems to be the other thing people are doing is like, oh, it's just a monster movie. Like, if you don't enjoy it, like, blah. And it's like, I don't know. I mean, anything I could say I had a problem with, other people could dispute as being like, oh, well, like, in a genre picture, that's not that important, you know? Like, oh, there's some bad dialogue here, and I'm, or, you know, specious character motivation. And it's like, well, but that's not really the point. The point is that it's about this and that happening, and those things do happen, and, you know, you get a visceral kind of stomach-churning aspect to this idea of these creatures that engineered humans and then, like, are also going to try to be their demise or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, like I get that. I get that there's some sort of interesting philosophical stuff kind of being bounced against this monster movie. But I just, I don't know if it's as strongly constructed as it would need to be to really make that a satisfying story for me. It just, it isn't. There's just some of, I mean, did you like the... Did you like very many of the characters? I think everyone's sort of saying that they were compelled by the David character, and I agree with that.
The David character was great. I believe that just about all the characters are meant to be hateful and irritating.
I believe
they're meant to be, absolutely.
I believe
they were written with that
for.
A purpose.
So you're supposed to sort of root for the aliens to destroy humanity, or you're supposed to sort of take.
No,
this
I believe
kind of...
you're supposed to. I believe you're supposed to understand why. I mean, it's supposed to give you an idea of why this would be a possibility, a horrifying possibility. You know that this that these people are. I don't know. One thing that I think bothers me about the criticism of it is. People are talking about the leaps that characters make in inferring what's going on in the movie. But I think also that that is the entire point of it. That the entire thing is about, you know, from the human aspect, is about the faith of this one doctor and that tying into everything, and then it all has to do with all these people making massive shifts in their lives and shifts in technology and you know, Wayland jumping and spending $1 trillion at the suggestion of these two scientists who've been studying cave paintings. Everything is about people making leaps because of inferences they've made. There's no like real evidence of anything in this movie until David finds the thing that, you know, I mean, of course there's the black and everything, but everything in this is showing you the dark corners of this stuff without explaining it. And once again, I think you're doing what you did with the Hulk problem in Avengers, which is you want, you're acting like you want deep explanations of everything when you're not talking about a movie there. You're talking about like, you want director's commentary while you're watching it, so every single thing can be explained. And if you and have you looked up the Ridley Scott stuff? I mean, he's spoken in great detail about what this means, what that means.
No,
which a lot
I
of people are actually mad at him for.
All I've heard is that he made kind of a dismissive sounding comment about whether that was in fact Earth at the beginning or not. I think he just said he doesn't care.
He said it's not supposed to be, which Ebert apparently disbelieved. He thinks he's saying that on purpose because he doesn't want people to know an answer. But
still go at Scott about like whether Deckard is a replicant. You know, like
exactly,
there's
yeah.
reasons for it yeah. not to be. So I'm not as concerned about that. I think I'm more concerned about having something to really. Really work with from characters and from their motivations and from their sort of, you know, logical leaps or whatever. And like you said, it's just a bit too much for me, and it just doesn't work for me. And you know what? Like, if it works for other people, if they're fine with it, if they can call it a genre movie and be fine, then I can walk away from it. I will say this, that scene when David turns on the hologram and sees all the, and it's really pretty and cool and epic, kind of, like, that was about where the movie started to win me back on some level. And there are cool aspects of things that are happening, and there's a vague degree of arc for the main female doctor character, like you said, having this faith and stuff, and then sort of being at the end kind of like, well, I'm going to go fucking talk to them and find out what's going on. And it's like, okay, well, that makes her that part is kind of compelling. And I mean, like I said this on Paul's podcast, like, they'd be able to sucker me in for $10 to see the sequel to this, just because I'm so curious about that aspect of them doing that. And I want to know if she can put his head back together. But so many of these other aspects of the movie just don't really feel like they work for me, and they're kind of unnecessary. It's like these pieces that need to get fitted together in order to, like, have it be like a, you know, science fiction-y action horror plot. I feel like they could have done a better job with it, is all I'm saying, you know? Like,
you're talking about, I just don't understand what aspects you're talking about, because I haven't talked to anyone who's seen it aside from you who hasn't found it just a mind-blowingly entertaining, fascinating to watch film, and I noticed all the little niggling things that people have mentioned, but never once did it take me out of it any more than it had in any other movie I've ever seen.
Right.
And I just don't get how, like, I mean, you're talking about tiny little things in a movie that really have nothing to do with what makes this so amazing, which is, I mean, this is an incredibly deep thematic thing that touches on so many subjects. And I think delves rather deeply into several of them. But first and foremost, this is a phenomenal monster movie, a phenomenal body horror film with some great set pieces and exceptional cinematography. I thought the pacing was actually pretty good. It slowed down a little bit in the first half of the second act. But the people that are complaining about the slowness at times are the ones who are conversely championing Alien, which is one of the slowest films ever made,
which is
one of the things that's so great about it. I mean, the deliberate pace in this, I mean, I don't know. I just, everything I saw, I was completely wowed by. And I may have you to thank for this, because when I first saw the trailers for it, I was blown away. I'd heard about this for a long time, and I thought it was a terrible idea. I see the trailers, I'm blown away. So at that point, I know that I'm already expecting too much.
Mm.
And so I was like, well, I have a strong feeling that I'm going to be disappointed, and that's bothering me because it just looks so amazing. And then I didn't read any specific reviews or anything like that, but I did see what the scores were on things, and it was all generally positive. You know, it's all in the range where, like you said, down the road, one half of people are going to be crowing about it, and the other half are going to be still dismissing it. But it's at that level where, you know, greatness comes out of. Because usually when something is like, oh gosh, this movie was 92% on Rotten Tomatoes or like a 80 something on Metacritic, and then it ends up being something that goes into a bargain bin because nobody wants to watch Michael Clayton three times a year or whatever. So that said, then I see your hipster stuff, and then I see your hipster buddies. Your hipster buddies talking about it, and then you're like having your little hipster seance talking to James Dean about what he thinks about it, and then I'm like,
James liked it actually.
And here was the thing, and then I bet this was funny. Ryan and I had the same reaction because he was also kind of so-so on it just from seeing what the reviews were leaning toward. Like he I think he was hoping for higher numbers, which I think is kind of irrelevant really when it comes down to it, but. But when we both showed up at the theater, and then Blaine showed up, you know,
right?
And on the way in, we were both.
Did you spark one up? Did you spark up?
No, I don't. They may have. Well, Ryan was at my house first.
Ryan
was at my house first, so Blaine probably did.
Yeah.
Before he got in there, but Ryan and I, no, it was no sparking of anything.
Okay.
And we both had this conversation on the way in, like. We were talking about how disappointed we kind of expected, but then I was like, but you know what? The way Ian talked about it and hated on it, like, I have a feeling that I'm gonna love this. And he goes, I felt that same exact way. He was like, I was actually really excited when I saw Ian saying what he felt about it because I knew instantly that he was wrong. We had that conversation. It was pretty funny.
Okay. Well, I mean,
So thank you. I think what you did was take my doubts and expectations and stuff and dash them so hard that they all just disappeared whatsoever.
Glad to be a service.
All the doubts, all the expectations.
And I went in and I was blown away by just that
beginning. The imagery in this film has still stuck with me. It's been, I don't even know how long it's been now since I saw it. Did I just see it last week?
Yeah, you saw it on Sunday. It hasn't been a week yet.
Ian, it feels like it's been an infinite.
You gonna go see it
since
again?
The dawn of time? I don't know. I'm not gonna see it in the theater. I can't afford to do that. But,
no, all right. In all fairness, everything
I've seen has been just everything I saw was, I don't know. This was like the perfect sci-fi film. This was the perfect horror film for me. This was the perfect. You know, people are throwing the monster thing out there, and that kind of works a little bit, though it wasn't really about any one specific monster. There was a lot of variety of monsters, which I think added to the whole mystique of the thing. But this was a thoroughly engrossing and horrifying and haunting film for me. It is the imagery of these things have haunted me, and that's what Ridley Scott excels at. And he took this. I mean, the thing is, you know, you're talking about Lindelof in a pejorative manner, but. He brought this to Lindelof after Spates had written it, and he asked for these changes. This is the movie that Ridley Scott wanted. This was the direction he wanted to take it, and heaven knows he's not always right. I mean, he's made a lot of crap. This guy is a pretty visionary director who's had a phenomenal long career, and he's like 50-50 hit or miss, maybe less, maybe way less.
I think he's about a solid 30.
Maybe 30. That's probably pretty close.
But it's a solid 30.
I think he's made 3 or 4 phenomenal films, and then a handful of pretty good films, and then a whole bunch of garbage. That's what I think. And don't get me started on Tony. Ian, don't even ask me about Tony Scott. Don't get me started about Tony Scott.
Okay, I won't.
Do you think that the guy who was the scientist who was
geologist?
Rapace's boyfriend, Logan
right,
Marshall
guy?
Green.
That guy was awesome as a scientist. He really seemed like a scientist.
he
seemed like a scientist from the beginning, and his motivations made sense.
I've never even known that actor's name, but as soon as I see him, I go, "Oh, it's the American Tom Hardy." That's what I think of him as when I see him, because he looks like an American version of Tom Hardy, except for he's not a very good actor.
No, and
he's good enough, I guess. He was good in The O.C. Remember The O.C.? You watched that show, right?
I don't remember him in it, though. So, I mean, I don't know. We're at kind of an impasse, I think. I don't think I'm being particularly overly nitpicky or petty. I think for me, it's larger things like just... I mean, they didn't even need to address that. Like, why are we all going here? And then it's a scientist. A woman that's supposed to be a scientist is like, "No, but I believe it." Like, because of some cave paintings. Okay, so
We're on our way
because of cave paintings. And her answer is weak, and it makes her seem like, are there any actual scientists on this thing that, like, think about things from, like, an analytical standpoint? Because David kind of does a little bit of that. But, like, there's no sense of, like, characters trying to explore this massive discovery, this impressively interesting thing.
All they do is explore.
No, you get petulant jerk-off who's like, "Oh, they're not here ready to talk to us." Like, when it's like, are you kidding me? Aren't you an archaeologist? This is like an impressively major find, and you're getting drunk
One of the themes in this is expectations. The expectations of everyone and their relationships to each other, and who should be able to do what, and why this person can't get pregnant, and why this person is not considered a child to the guy who says he has no son, you know, and actually points that out. It's all about these, and so of course these scientists will have particular expectations. You think all scientists are completely impassionate, analytical, logical, like Vulcans?
No, it's just that it wasn't laid out well enough for that to make a lot of sense. It was like, okay, these guys are archaeologists, and they think they're gonna. I guess because of dots in a star chart, they're gonna stargate their way out there to go find this thing. And then when they get there and immediately find something of note and of like a lot of relevance, and then when there's a super lazy writing thing where it's, "Oh, we were able to activate holograms and see what happened before," It's like, okay, great. They got holograms to tell them what happens, to, you know, tell the audience with, you know, what happened before, to give them like, oh, go that way.
What's wrong with that? I thought that was pretty clever. I thought that was good.
I mean, you almost didn't need it though. Like, literally, they could have found like a decapitated body.
I thought it was.
Like,
I thought it added a nice horror element to it, actually.
I mean, it's tricky to articulate the problems I had with Prometheus, but I think they laid in sort of a tonal inconsistency and kind of a one-dimensionality to the characters in terms of their motivations. If one of the scientists was maybe more analytical as opposed to them both being that way, I think that I could have gotten behind that. If the themes of, like, fertility and all those other sorts of things had been brought up in a way that felt less sort of ham-fisted and abrupt, then I could have gotten behind that in a much more effective way, even though it felt kind of unnecessary and pointless. Because, like I said, it started to win me back at the end, and there are interesting ideas being toyed with in this movie in places. It's just some of the other stuff. And you could be perfectly right. Maybe I'm just wanting too much and being pretentious in my science fiction wants here.
Well, like, first of all, I think you're wanting too little. You're wanting way less than what it started to give. And then when it didn't follow up on that, it's bothering you. That's what it sounds like from all this. You wanted it to be more like Alien, where it's just the ship, and then they wake up and they're there. But the fact that they did slam in, you know, a minute of them in a cave, and then a couple minutes of them explaining what's going on after they wake up in the ship. Like, it's like, you know, you opened this can of worms. That's what you're saying to the movie,
right? Yeah. Now make good on it and make it a little more, add a little more depth to it. Like, in the end, there ends up being no real further mystery to this. It's not like somebody on the ship knew that there was something else going on. It was just like, no, this is what it is. We're all out here because of some cave paintings, and we have faith that this might,
what,
these people,
what further
might
mystery do you want? So, you're judging this against Alien, because that's exactly what you're talking about. They were, you know, they were changed course there by Ian Holm or whatever.
But that's like what you want from a movie, is you want like it to be more than what it tells you it is at the very beginning. You want like
is unknowable. How are you saying it's not more than what you want it to be? It's unknowable. Because you don't know if these things are the creators or not. You don't know what they're actually going to Earth to do. You don't know what
the movie is
stuff
successful.
You don't know what causes any of this stuff to do. Why does David do what he does to American Tom Hardy? Why does he do that? I don't think they're problematic, but I think that they all open this up to this fact that this thing is asking enormous questions, and it's purposefully not answering them, and it's putting that into this package of this phenomenal horror sci-fi film, and I just don't see what the problem with any of that is.
Again, it just comes down, that's a Lindelof thing. Like, let me throw out some big questions, and then, you know, throw in some kind of two-dimensional characters run around with some drama.
Hey, I don't remember anything like that.
We don't have to answer things, and that's the way it goes. And it's like, you know what? Then 50% of the people think it's great, and 50% of the people think it's like, what? Okay, I guess that's what writing is these days, you know?
Nash
I could
Bridges.
Do that. I could ask a question. I could be like, does it make you a good person to do this or something, you know? And then just have a story happen that doesn't answer that question.
No, that's exactly how movies are made. You just described how writing a movie goes. You don't explain things. The explaining of things, the talking of things is... that's an anime thing, man. It's over talking something to death when it barely even needs to be mentioned. A theme can be brought up and then explored through the actual actions of the film and seeing
right.
what people do
right.
and where
Exploring
they go and things
it
like that.
To arrive at a conclusion, arrive at an array of conclusions, maybe.
It doesn't have to arrive at a conclusion.
Well, but it kind of arrives at an end one way or the other, because it does end as a movie.
Sure, it ends as
a
movie.
And then you're left with something.
In a new direction. The protagonist chooses to go on with her faith and it chooses to go on.
No, she doesn't. She's
out.
Faithless.
Oh, absolutely she does.
No, that's not what I got.
Yeah.
Well, that was the reason I found her more compelling. There's no arc for her if she still got her inexplicable, like,
I the arc for her is she loses it, and then at the end, she chooses to pick it back up again. She chooses to do that and chooses to go on with this mission and chooses to find out what's going on.
Well, that, choosing you know, to find that, out, that, that's the only time she starts to act like a scientist, I guess.
She's broken and then finds the will within to choose what she wants to do again with her life, with whatever, and she's going to go and seek this thing out and finish it. I thought that was great. And what's funny is, so it kind of ended where I thought it was an end. I thought she was going to get to the lifeboat and that would be it. And I was like, oh, cool, it's going to be this kind of Stark ending thing. And then it just kept going. And at this, the first time, when the first notice that it was going to keep going to me, I had a split second of like a twinge of panic where I was like, oh, it's going to be one of these things that takes forever to end. But that final stuff was like packed full of goodies. You know what I mean, Ian? It was packed full of goodies.
There was a squid fight.
Dude, the squid fight. Awesome. This whole thing, first of all, like the design of all the characters and stuff in it was great. I think the fact that the humanoid pale alien things, the giant things, you know, looked vaguely human made them even more kind of shocking and terrifying looking. Like, it was really, I don't know, it was great, man.
Well, they shared 100% DNA with humans too.
Yeah, exactly.
Which didn't make any sense in the plot, but that wasn't important, I guess.
No, it's completely unimportant because you're showing this to a mass audience. So right. If you're like, if you have to explain it further, you'd be like, oh, like, look, the strands of our DNA are this much close, which means that this, and people ask questions about it, and then, you know, which makes them seem even dumber. So what you do is you just go right. Lowest common denominator with it and keep going.
LCD, man.
You want this to be a science textbook when it's a horror film.
I don't think I wanted it to be a science textbook. I think I wanted it to be a little more of a mystery, and I wanted it to be a little bit more of a science fiction mystery and less of like just a horror action movie. And it wasn't even, I mean, you know, like I said, I wanted a little more for the characters. I want a little more from the characters in terms of depth and logic of behavior. And that's all. Like I said, it disappointed me on some levels. I didn't, you know, I mean, I'm kind of over it at this point. I think it's probably comical.
Sounds like you were over it before you saw it.
Kind of. No, I wasn't. I really wanted to see it. I keep saying, and I could give a shit about what the internet says. On every movie I ever choose to see myself, I can give a shit. I don't read a bunch of other reviews and then parrot that crap or whatever. If I say the same things, then that should just mean that, oh, yeah, that's actually something that has been observed by more than one person. So
you're not. You're definitely saying the things in a more lukewarm manner than those who are obviously on a witch hunt for it for no reason.
But that's the other side of it, Zach. I honestly, and I can take this on either way. I don't take that approach that seems to be this new sociological phenomenon of like, oh, these people are on a witch hunt against this or they're against it. It's like, take a deep breath. If somebody doesn't like something that you like, you can like talk with them about like, well, why didn't you like it?
Are you actually saying this to me right now? You hate the idea of hipsters so much. Anything that you perceive to be some sort of hipster thing that hipsters would like, you just rail against and you rave against and you go on and on about it without ever actually having seen the thing. So you,
I'm kidding you. That's why you're laughing about it.
I'm laughing about it because you're being an idiot.
What?
Because that's the exact thing you do with things that you see and you start just mocking it out of hand without ever even considering that
it could be some band or something. That's about bands, the extent of it.
Comedies. You've recently got this thing about podcasts and.
The self-consuming mid-level comedians in their podcasts, yeah.
Which, by the way, is also not an original idea because everyone says that. So, you know, I'm sure they do.
I don't know. Like I said, I do what I do, and if it's 90% what everybody else does, then that's not surprising. But
my point is, you can't get bothered when
I'm not bothered.
People are saying things like, you know, there's this witch hunt thing there. I mean, you're quite a witch hunting hipster.
A hipster witch hunting hipster. Okay.
I haven't seen Witch Hunter Robin. Is Witch Hunter Robin a witch?
Talk to Ryan about it. That's one of his favorites.
Have you seen it?
I've seen it. Yeah, she is. So, like, they're all witches.
So Witch Hunter Robin.
They hunt witches.
Yes, Witch Hunter Robin is a witch hunting witches.
Right.
And you're a hipster hunting hipsters. You're a hipster hunter, you know, Ian.
You got to keep what you kill, right? Or whatever else. I mean, even the motivation of the Fury and Riddick made more sense than the motivation of these characters in Prometheus. That's all I'm saying.
Listen, dude, nothing in Riddick made sense or was love. And I loved Chronicles of Riddick. I think that was an awesome movie. And this is like 1,000 times better and smarter and more adult and actually frightening than that.
That's true. Okay.
And this didn't even have to lower itself to having Vin Diesel in it.
Would have been better.
It just had the American Tom Hardy.
Let's just call him USTH.
That's too difficult.
No, it's easier.
I wish I could remember his name. It's Jeremy something, I think. Jeremy, there's a green in there. Jeremy, Logan. There's no Jeremy. His name is Logan Marshall Green. But when people hyphenate their names and stuff as actors, like, aren't they just asking to be mixed up with all the other people who hyphenate their names?
I think I don't even know where to go with the hyphenated name thing. I think everyone needs to take a fucking chill pill with the multiple names.
Hey, man.
It's either hyphenated.
Hey, calm down on your witch hunt against multiple names.
Okay, you're right. Sorry, I have opinions, and I voice them with gusto. Sometimes.
Just other people can't, right?
Other people can. It's fine. it's just when they... I think the problem is when people start to assume that everybody is on board with some movement or something because of their opinion. Like, it's a fucking movie. I didn't really like Prometheus, but that doesn't mean I'm on board with the, you know, whatever contingent you're trying to connect me with that's all about just, like, going after it for some reason. Because I'm like, you know what, these things didn't work, and that's all there is.
You're saying, despite the fact that you didn't like it overall, you're not on the witch hunt bandwagon.
No, I'm not on any bandwagons ever. I mean, if it's a fucking movie, it's not like it's a movement. It's not like it means anything. If somebody else says, I liked it, I'll say, oh, what did you like about it? Because these are things I didn't like. I mean, I might be involved in a conversation. You know, I mean, here, case in point, I did a quick Twitter conversation with Paul yesterday because he didn't like Speed Racer. He's like, I don't like Speed Racer.
I'm like,
what's not to like about Speed Racer? Like, and then he's like, oh, speed curses. Yeah, character wouldn't do that. But he does that once, you know?
Hey, now you know what, though? We had that conversation when we podcast about it, one of, like, the 12 times we've podcasted.
I know, I remember. You liked that he did that.
I appreciated that. And it was totally out of character, but I appreciated when he said that because he was an emotionless robot until that happened. And that is not Speed Racer. He was out of character until he did that, I believe, which is, he did something out of character to put himself in character, kind of, because he was never as brash as Speed Racer ever was in the cartoon.
Yeah, there's a lot.
That's the thing that held the movie back for me and gave it a barely passing thing because of the visual ingenuity and it was like just psychotic. Like the fact that they got that movie made, startling, because it just doesn't. It makes no visual sense that somebody would make a movie like that. I thought it was ballsy. It was a ballsy movie that was nonstop and.
No, it's a solid good movie.
But
to the main character.
But I understood.
The family
understood what he
stuff
was
bolsters
about.
It and everything. Yeah,
I understood. What he
and so
saying.
In the end, you just kind of have to realize that everybody kind of brings their own baggage to the party, and I mean, I brought some admittedly to this. You know, I'm finding that that's just my take on stories. Is I kind of want to at least have a character that I can get behind and follow through this, and I didn't really have that in this. I mean, if it stayed with David Moore, maybe, but the scientist girl just didn't do it for me. She just kind of meandered through things, and then, you know, delivered like.
I disagree. I think
fisted abrupt lines like, "What about me? I'm not worth anything because I can't have baby." And it's like, "What?
Yeah,
where did that come?" I literally like rolled my eyes watching that and felt like this is awful.
I bet you said something misogynistic under your breath too, like women. I thought she was great, and I don't really particularly like Noemi Rapace as an actor, but or actress if you prefer. I don't know what do feminists prefer now.
I don't know what.
Let's say actor. I don't think her character was a problem, and all the action she took, like my gosh, that whole sequence where she finds out what's going on with her.
No, that was good. I like that.
Knocks out the scientists and goes and does like that. That one person complained. I don't remember where I read it, but that there was no set pieces in it, and I was like, BS. Pardon my French. I was like, BS. There's no set pieces. There's a couple of pretty amazing set pieces, and that one where she's, you know, getting the alien abortion, it was pretty awesome. That was a pretty awesome, like, totally riling you up, like, great music in that part. Like, and then she's got to slide past that thing. Like, that's phenomenal body horror, and that is just, that's great stuff, dude. Like, Cronenberg probably, you know, he took a break from whatever he was doing, whatever Canadian thing he was doing, and clapped when he saw that. I guarantee Cronenberg.
Or I bet he bit his knuckles, actually. Out of repressed
jealousy. He might have bitten his pillow.
Possibly. Who knows? that was interesting. That was cool. That was engaging. And like I said, there were parts in it where it kind of sort of won me back over, where I was like, okay, this is creepier, this is weird, or this is kind of interesting. But then I'm still like trying to connect the dots and other things and being like, this doesn't make any sense, or what's going on with that guy, or how are they inferring that this is what's happening? And I mean, maybe if it had had five less characters and it had taken a little more time to, not even more time, I don't know, like it literally just comes down to like the way
it just didn't do it for you. It just didn't do it for you.
It just didn't do it for me in places. And I wanted it to. And in other places, it kind of did. And I sort of saw where it was going in places. And I was like, oh, this could be interesting. And then, nah, not really. Or whatever. Like I said, I'm still hooked for the idea of following up on some of these other questions that it brings up. You know, the whole, like, where are they going to go if they go to the planet and all of that? And what's that going to amount to and everything? But I don't know. I don't know. This just like her character became compelling through what happened to her on some level.
Yeah, right.
But at the same time, I would have liked something a little more from at least one of the characters. I mean, here's the thing, like the two scientist characters, her and douchebag boyfriend guy, USTH, they were both on board with this like faith engineer garbage. If one of them were more analytical and scientific, it would have, like, given them something to bounce it off of, as opposed to that sort of just being this kind of unquestioned thing that they all just kind of dove into. And then you had, like, the captain, like, the Idris Elba character. Like, there was something kind of funny about him and kind of interesting about him. But he's just on the ship the whole time. And then somehow was able to glean all this information by seeing, like, oh, look at those canisters and stuff. And that felt a little like, okay, I guess you've got all that information from what you saw from the broadcasts or whatever.
I mean, he's been seeing and hearing everything. I don't have a problem with any of that. I didn't have... Yeah. I mean, here's the thing. He infers something, and he tells her his opinion, and then she's like, that scares her. Like, right. I don't see any problem with that. I don't get that at all. I just don't get how anyone could have a problem with
it. Well, he doesn't really submit it like it's a inference, though. He really does say it like this just seems like this is absolutely... Well, like, you're supposed to take it from the movie, like,
if you have an
without
opinion
question,
about something,
that's what's happening.
If you have an opinion about something,
oh, right,
throwing someone
very,
in a life-or-death situation, vegan, you're not going to be like, listen, here's what I've inferred from the things that I've recently seen.
Did you like the two bros, the two pilot bros? They're just like, yes, we're gonna die, bro.
I didn't like. I thought they were useless. But again, that doesn't take away from anything. Many movies have.
Okay.
You know.
What about the geologist that turned into like the monster zombie creature for some reason?
For some reason, what do you mean? He was exposed to goo.
He was exposed to goo that melted his face. Right.
Yeah.
It looked like it was the early stage of an alien acid, maybe. And the other guy who got the alien the worm that crawled down his mouth, the biologist. Right. Nothing happened with him, right?
He just died.
Yeah, he just died.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, it was a little tricky following what was going on.
You wanted there to be a proper order to everything.
Well, an alien there is, right? An alien, it makes a lot
of
sense.
Alien is way later, and it's about a particular thing that was born out of this moment.
Right, yeah. So I mean, I think I just wanted, yeah, I mean, like I said, it's, and I had that same problem in, District 9 with the goo that just kind of is able to do a couple of different plot convenient things. It's like, I'm a little over goo in a science fiction movie that just kind of does whatever the writer needs it to do.
Goo is a universal thing. Once you get that through your thick skull, you'll appreciate movies with goo in them.
with magic goo that does six different things.
How do you know the goo isn't magic? And let's call it what it is. Let's call it scientific goo, okay?
Okay.
It's engineered
right.
goo. This goo is
engineered future DNA infection stuff. It makes worms come out of your eye. Then it makes you turn all gray, and sort of like something. And then it makes you infect people with squid babies.
Exactly. Hey, we got to cut this short here. I might like it. Is yeah. Freaking.
Yeah, he's on his way out. Okay, well, that's the end of this one. So you liked it. I didn't so much.
Zach 1,
but...
Ian 0. Actually, it's probably more like Zach, like what, 50, 57, or like, how many have we done hundreds of these? Have we done?
Yeah, but we don't always disagree.
We don't always disagree. So let's say out of all the times we disagree, this is like 57 to 0.
Okay, we'll say
that.
That sounds 100% fair. All right, take care of your kid.
I don't know if you did this in the other podcast that you guessed it on, but what rating would you give this fine film?
Oh, I did. We didn't, because he doesn't do ratings.
Yeah, right. He doesn't believe in them, probably.
I don't know. Somewhere between a 2.5, maybe, like right. out of 5.
I'm going to go ahead.
Like I said, there was interesting stuff in it, but I don't know if I would come back. I don't know if I would ever care about rewatching this. Maybe if there was some director's cut that had like 20 more minutes, I'd be curious to see what those were. But just as this movie is, it's like an Alien 4 kind of level to me where I'm like, I don't give a shit.
All right, I'm going to go ahead and give it a 4 out of 5.
Okay. 4 out of 5 from Zach and a 2.5-ish out of Ian.
2.25.
2.25, 2.25 stars right. from Ed McMahon. Okay, take care of your kid. Yeah. Have a good one, buddy.
Have fun hating.
I always do.